without further ado, you have got an incredible message coming for you, and I hope you are ready. Hopefully those of you that have got running trainers on are going to find out why that's a good thing shortly. Why don't we welcome Pastor Kyla?
Thanks, Craig, and hello, church. It's good to be back and to see many familiar faces. And it's a real privilege whenever I come back just to share and to share a word that I believe God's put on my heart. And I just want to open in prayer, and then we're going to get right into it. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is what transforms us and changes lives and releases faith. And I believe that you want to release and impart faith in people today, that you want to impart joy and peace in people today through your word. So, Father, may we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was praying about today, I kept hearing the Lord say for this church, it's time to run. It's time to get your running shoes on, church, because it's time to run. And I really believe that this is the season where the Lord is commissioning people to run like they've never run before. That is anointing people to run. And he actually reminded me of a service we had here many, many years ago in the youth. And God, the Spirit was doing stuff and it was amazing. And all of a sudden there was an anointing on people to start running. And I just began to see the anointing hit people and then they would shoot off and just began to run around the church. And every time I laid hands on someone, they just shot off and they ran. And it became actually quite funny. And I thought, how many people could I get running in this place? So I'd just go up to people and say, in Jesus' name, and they off they went, running. But there was something that broke that night where God released a boldness and a fresh fire and a fresh freedom to run, not only in the Spirit, but in what he is calling us. And I feel like the same thing's happening. I can just see that the Lord is just placing his hands on people even now, and he's commissioning you and anointing to run like you've never run before. And I see people running with boldness. I see people running in new faith, and I see people running in a fresh vigor and a fresh strength like they've never run before. So church, get ready to run. The other picture I had was at the horse races, and there's all these horses in the holding pen and they're eager, ready to go, and it's been almost like a time of preparation and a time of getting ready. But I see that the gate is being opened and the light goes on and the horses just began to shoot forth and run with a new acceleration. And a time to advance forth. And I know you guys have had Advance Sunday, which I actually really believe is a prophetic word for this season of this church, that it's actually a time to advance forth and to move forward together, not just ones here and there, but I see a whole army moving and running together. I heard the Lord say, new path, new strength, and new speed. And not only I believe that this is a commissioning to run, I see that the Lord's saying, will you run with me? And when you run with me, this may mean running in new paths, paths that we didn't expect and we didn't foresee, but we will know that they are the Lord by the peace that we have. And I saw new strength. It says that in Isaiah, that those that trust in the Lord shall receive new strength. And I saw people that were potentially weary or just stuck, that new strength was coming to run. And then I saw new speed. And I feel like that the things that we could do in the natural, that God's going to accelerate that in the Spirit, that by his power and by his strength and by his anointing, that things are going to happen a lot quicker than we could actually do ourselves. So I believe he wants to show us how to run with greater stamina and to run in his strength. And just like Elijah, that's the other picture I had, of Elijah running ahead and outrunning the chariots, that we're going to see a supernatural capacity to run. That when he enlarges our tent, he fills the capacity to be able to cope with that. So have you got your running shoes? I should have actually worn my shoes. I'm wearing thongs today, which aren't very good to run in, but I've had problems with my feet, and so they're special orthotic thongs. It was either that or sneakers, and I thought I'd go in my thongs today, but I realized it's not very good to run in thongs. So let us run. The other verse that came to me was, how beautiful are those feet who bring good news. And I really believe it's a time to run. I know that many people are running at the moment. They're running for pastor and they're running for toilet paper and they're running for, oh, goodness knows. Like, I had a teacher tell me that they, their husband went to the shops the other day and he said it was actually insane. He lined up at 8 o'clock, the doors opened and people bolted for the toilet paper aisle. And he said, I didn't have a chance. He said, I just let them have it. But we are actually called not to run in panic or fear. We're actually called to run in with hope and peace and the good news. So I want to look at it's time to run, but particularly focus on Jesus and how he ran his race as an example to us in how we are to run in this season. So I want to look at Hebrews 12 and then pull that apart today. So let's turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 4. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, and they were becoming weary in their race. They were starting to drift through life without focus, without faith, and without energy. And they were tempted to give up because it was easier to meander through life than run the marathon that God had set for them. And they were a bit like Forrest Gump. You've seen the movie Forrest Gump where he just starts running and then all of a sudden, just one day, he stops running and he says, I'm a bit tired now, I think I'll just go home. But Paul is encouraging the people not to be like Forrest, but to actually run with purpose by looking at Jesus, who was their example in how to run. So I want to encourage you this year that let us look to Jesus in what he's actually calling us to run with him this year, that we wouldn't become like Forrest Gump that says, you know what, I'm pretty tired now. I think I'm just going to go home. I think I'm just going to settle. I think I'm just going to put my feet up and relax, because God's actually saying, hey, no, it's time to run with me. And would you be willing to go where I lead you this year? So how did Jesus run his race? The first thing he did was he overcame hindrances to running. Hebrews 12 says that since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. And the Hebrews also faced obstacles to running that tried to deter them from faith and stop them from advancing forth. Jesus faced so much opposition, yet he never gave up. He kept his eyes on his Father and on obeying his Father and the joy set before him. And he endured the cross. He endured the opposition. And so Paul is encouraging us, like the Hebrews, let us get rid of the things that keep us stuck, that keep us hindered and keep us from running the race that God has set before us. You know, sometimes there's hindrances to running. And this year it's been quite funny, the hindrances I've had actually to even walking. I don't know if you remember, but about 15 years ago, I had an accident with my toe and I dislocated it to 90 degrees. It took ages to put back because I had to wait in an emergency. And then it was broken for, I don't know, 9, 10 months where it just would not heal. And it caused a lot of grief. Anyway, in December of this year, I was off to cut the boys' hair. It's the first day of holidays. And I didn't happen to see the barbecue That's actually very big. And I walked straight into it and did the same toe. And the pain was so incredible. And this night, Dave and I had a real vision of gathering the neighbours and having a community Christmas thing with all the neighbours. We'd never done that before. And that was the same day. And I was in so much pain. I thought I'd broken it. And so we hobbled over to the neighbour's house and we did the party. But every time someone would ask what I did with my toe, I would start to go faint because of the trauma that I encountered 15 years ago. It'd bring me back to that place. But it took me probably the whole holidays to recover. Like, it was in so much pain. I had it x-rayed and they weren't sure if it was broken. They said, come back in a week and we'll let you know. But I didn't go back. I didn't really want to know. But after that, I started to have such pain in my foot, particularly after going for walks, that my foot would just ache the entire night and the entire day. And so I went to the doctors to find out what was wrong, and I discovered that I had plantar fasciitis, which is a condition of, I don't know, something in your foot, a tendon or something, that gets inflamed and causes incredible pain. And anyway, I went to a church service and they were praying for my feet to be healed. And all of a sudden they said, how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. And I really sensed in that moment that there had been an attack against me bringing good news and to stop me from running and to walk in the call that God had for me. Yes, it was physical, but there had been an attack against the feet. And I feel like that there's been almost an attack for some people about running. Not necessarily physically, but actually in the things that God has called you into. That there's been hindrances to slow you down and to get you to quit. And I feel like the Lord wants to release people from hindrances today that have stopped you and slowed you. And some of the things that I really sense particularly was there were pressures on people. That there had been pressures crushing down people, weighing down people. And and some of the pressures that I just sensed was for some there's been financial pressures, for others there's been health pressures, for others it's just been demand after demand. And I just feel like the Lord wants to release people of pressures today. I realised that this week that the Lord actually had done that for me. A few weeks ago, I was just feeling so weighed down by all these demands and pressures, and just at home, one of our children has been extra difficult, and there was busy at work and busy at church, and there was just this weariness. And I was listening to this message, this sermon, and all of a sudden he just stopped and he said, I feel like there's been pressures on people that the Lord wants to release today. And he just began to pray that the pressures would lift off. It wasn't until a few days later that I realised that pressure had completely gone. The situation actually hadn't really changed. But what I found myself doing was just laughing. Like, I have not laughed so much in the last 2 weeks that I've laughed. I just started laughing over everything. Like, last night I came home. I don't know if you'll find this funny, but I did. But I came home last night. It was about 10:30 at night. And I saw one of our children walk down the corridor. And I thought, I wonder what he's doing. So I went to have a look, and he was in his sister's room, and he had his pants down, and he was weeing all over her floor. And I said, this is not the toilet. Quick, go to the toilet. And I just lost it laughing. I just couldn't stop laughing. And I thought, you know what, this is probably payback, because his sister actually put him in hospital on Monday into the emergency department because she decided that it would be a good idea to cut his fingers and see what scissors would do. I wasn't actually laughing at that time when there was blood everywhere and Dave wasn't home and he was screaming, my sister cut me, and there was blood on the wall and blood on the floor. But anyway, he's all right. But there's just been thing after thing and stressful things, and maybe I've just cracked it. Maybe that's what it is, that I've just cracked it and everything's funny. But I actually feel like the Lord has lifted off pressure, and this is just this new joy that, and you know what? Laughter is a medicine. And the Lord says, For I've clothed you with strength and dignity. You will have no fear of something. You will laugh and you will have no fear of the future. And I feel like the Lord, we need to be wise with what's happening at the moment. But I feel like the Lord wants to release a supernatural joy that we would laugh in the face of the enemy when he comes against us with fear and pressure. And that's going to break it. That's going to strip off those things that are stressing us and weighing us down. So that's one thing. The other thing I felt like was that, I can't get this lid off, but that's all right. The other thing I feel like God wants to speak into those who have been running in the wrong direction out of fear or of disobedience. See, Jonah ran, thanks Craig, Jonah ran, but he ran out of fear and intimidation and disobedience to the Lord, and he ran in the opposite direction until God got a hold of him, and finally he ran in the right direction and saw revival happen as a whole city came to the Lord. Before any of this coronavirus got out of hand, I actually had a picture of people running in intimidation and fear, like Elijah, who after a great victory, one day, Jezebel threatened him and he began to run away in fear. And God finds him in a cave and God reminds him who he is by showing him his presence. And Elijah gets back up and off he goes to the Lord. And, you know, it can be quite funny seeing everyone run in hysteria at the moment. But actually what it is, it's a spirit of fear. And I just sense, this is before any of this, I saw people, actually the Lord was saying, hey, would you not run from things? Would you run to me? Because when you run from me, the enemy's not running after you. Because he knows that if you run to the Lord, who he's going to encounter when he gets there. And it says in Proverbs 18:10, he is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and are safe. And I feel like now is the time, like never before, to run to the Lord and not to run from things, but to run to him. As Christians, we need not to be flippant about things. We need to prepare, but we also need to pray and we need to proclaim the good news. Like now, I just see a real opening in the Spirit to present the good news. Dave and I were at, doing supervision at the pools the other day for swimming lessons with the school, and we happened to talk to the swimming manager, and she was talking about just everything that's going on. She's Italian and everything that's going on in Italy and the fear and how she's actually afraid that she's going to die. And so we began to just speak peace into her, and I said to her, you know, I don't believe you will die, but the question is, do you know where you're going when you one day do? And she's like, oh, well, I think I do. I'm not sure. And Dave and I had the privilege of sharing with her the gospel and just bringing comfort and peace and hope. And, you know, it's time to run, church, but it's not to run away from. It's to run with the good news and to bring peace, hope, love and joy into a world that desperately needs it. Another hindrance is not being conditioned, and this is one thing that Dave actually gave me. Dave's a bit of a runner, well, was a bit of a runner, and he thought he might get back into it this year, and one of the neighbours offered to go running with him, and this neighbour's been running for a while and is quite trained in running, and Dave thought he'd just pick up where he last took off, which was about 10 years ago. And so he thought, yep, why not? Let's get my running shoes off I go. And he was dying by the end of it. Now, this is Dave's words. I'm not making fun of him. He told me to share this. But what he was saying was that we need to be disciplined. Like, we can't persevere if we're not disciplined and conditioned ourselves to the rigor of running. And in the same way, we need to be disciplined in our mind by meditating on the word and exercising our faith so that our character will be strengthened and help us to persevere when times get tough. 1 Corinthians 9 says in verse 25 to 27,
All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. The second thing that Jesus did was that he ran his race. And I see many people running, but they're running the wrong race. They're actually trying to run someone else's race, not the race that's marked out for them. And Jesus didn't waste his energy running outside of his race or his purpose. He knew what he was called to do, and that was to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And so he ran with purpose, and he wasn't swayed to the left or the right, but he kept his eyes fixed on what the Father was calling him to do. And sometimes when we get in the season of running, we can become almost like headless chooks, where we're running from this demand to that demand and running here and running there, but it becomes exhausting, and we actually end up running out of steam. But the Lord is wanting, I believe, to really bring... a refined purpose. What is your purpose? What is the purpose of this church? What is the purpose of me as an individual, so that we don't end up running here, there, and everywhere, but we actually run the race that he is calling us to race? That we don't compare ourselves to what other people are doing. And sometimes we get into this competitive nature and we think, well, we've been running longer than this person. We should be further ahead. And how come they've only been running this length of time and they're already up ahead? But I feel like the Lord wants to break competition and comparison and really equip you and empower you to run what he's called you to run in. I love what Christine Kane says. She says, "You have grace for your race." In other words, you're empowered and equipped to run what the Lord has called you. So quit trying to run someone else's race that you're never meant to run. How do we do this? How do we not get off track and be distracted? It says, "Let us run with endurance a race God has set before us," and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The third thing that Jesus did was that he ran with others. I really feel in this season that the Lord is saying, particularly, we're not to run alone. Now, I know that, you know, some churches are closing down and they're doing online, and there might be a season where we literally can't run with one another, but it doesn't mean that we still run alone. It's even more than ever before, we need to really run with one another. And actually, they talk about social distancing, but we actually need to come together in spirit through prayer and support and encouragement and champion one another on. See, Jesus ran with his Father. He only ever did what the Father said, and he was so close to the Father, and he also ran with his 12 disciples. And there were three particular ones that he was close to. And maybe they weren't always the greatest help, like cutting off the centurion's ear or falling asleep in his greatest time of need. But nonetheless, he had people that he ran with. I remember years ago, before Dave and I were together, he got a word, and I've shared this story before, but if you're new, then you'll get to hear it for the first time. But he got a word from the church saying, "You're a runner, but you've been running alone for a very long time. But there's going to come a season where God is going to call someone to run alongside you." Fast forward a year later, I decided I had a competition with Kerry who was going to be the fittest and who was going to lose the most. And so I decided I better start running. And Dave had kind of come on the scene, and I was he was a runner. And I thought, you know what? We had our first kind of get-together, date, and I said, "Why don't we go running together?" And so we started to run together, and it was in that moment that I remembered this word. I was like, oh, we literally were running together, and a year later we were married, and we've been running together ever since. Sometimes we try and compete against each other, but we run together in the things that God's called us. And God didn't call us to run solo. He didn't call us to try and compete, but he called us to run together. And he gave us the Holy Spirit and one another to do that. And if you look at how ducks fly, when they're flying long distances, they actually fly in a formation. And they go a lot further when they're flying together. And they swap who's the leader of the pack. But they fly together. And I have been really interested in the marathon runner, Eliud Kipchoge, who ran the marathon just last year in October. And it's such a beautiful story that illustrates about the importance of running together. And he was the first man to ever run a marathon in under 2 hours. His precise time was 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds. And to get an idea of how fast that is, that's an average speed of 2 minutes and 50 seconds per kilometre, 68 seconds per 400 metres, or 17 seconds per 100 metres for 2 hours. And he was a humble farmer who grew up in Kenya, learning to run to school and to the milk shop. And he had a dream to break that record and to inspire many people that no human is limited. And it says that in his race, the way that it was made possible was that he was supported by 41 pacemakers that formed a V to run with him and to protect him from the wind and the resistance. And so he had a bunch of champion athletes that had run races before and in their own rights were champions. But they put aside those titles and that prestige and they chose to champion him and run with him so that he could run the best race that he could. He was also led by a pace car that used a laser beam to show him precisely where he was to run. And so he ran literally the race that was marked out for him to ensure that he ran at a steady and set pace that he could finish. And one of the roles of these pacemakers was to protect. And it's just incredible. So I want to show you a little clip of his final leg of the race. And I guess be like a picture to us in how we can run together as a family.
Oh! Got his shoulder, 140, 140, the unofficial line.
Oh, there's his wife.
Eliud Kipchoge, stop.
Now, we may not all be marathon runners, and I'm sure that would take me a whole day to do that, not under 2 hours. But we are all called to be pacemakers for one another that would run together and champion. You didn't see how the pacemakers, they just were cheering him and encouraging him that you can do it. And Ecclesiastes says in 4:10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Who has God called you to run alongside in this season, to champion, to not compete against, but to actually celebrate and encourage and to pray? I had two beautiful ladies the other day who just came alongside me to pray for today. And I was, I had all these ideas, but I was struggling to get it all together and to know where things fit. And almost like writer's block. And after they prayed, that night I got on my computer and it just flowed. And I just, I've never, seen just a message come like it did. And it was because these two ladies prayed for me and championed me and encouraged me and believed in me. And we need those people in our lives. Who can we gather around and say, you know what, keep going, I'm praying for you. And who do we need in our lives? If you don't have anyone, I encourage you to pray for people, but also look for people that you can celebrate and encourage, particularly in these days. Think about your neighbours, people that you can love on. I love what Queensland's doing, the ones that are in isolation. Red Cross is committing to actually ring them every single day. Everyone that's in isolation, every day they will get a phone call from someone to say, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're praying for you. We're here for you. And I think that's beautiful. You know, who can we call? Who can we encourage? It might be the very thing that actually keeps him going. The other thing that we learn from Jesus is that he stayed in pace. And just like Eliud's pacemakers, they set pace for him so that he wouldn't run ahead too fast and he wouldn't lag behind too slow, but he would actually run at the right speed. And Jesus had a pace setter, and that was his Father. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what he tells me to say. There was so much demand, and he had the opportunity to run here, there, and everywhere. But he would have burnt out and he would have missed what God was actually saying for him. The Father was saying for him. So Jesus learned to keep pace with his Father, and he's taught his disciples how to keep pace with him. And he does the same for us. He is our pacemaker. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus how he ran his race. But he also left us the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5:22, it says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. How do we keep in pace? When I was asking the Lord that the other day, I just felt him say, you keep in pace by keeping in peace. Let peace be the one that, you know, that tells you if you're going too fast or too slow, but also by keeping in my presence, keeping close to the Lord. And the Israelites learned to do that with the cloud that represents God's presence. There was times that the cloud would stop and they had to camp and they had to rest. And there were times, whether it was a day or a month or whatever it was, that the cloud moved and they had to get up and they had to move. But they learned to keep pace with the cloud, to keep pace with the presence of God. So we don't need to compete with someone else's pace. We need to run at the pace that he set for us. Not settling and lagging behind because we're comfortable, but also not racing ahead and striving to burn ourselves out. And lastly, the last thing I want to point out is that Jesus remembered to drink. And if you're going to run a marathon or any race, you actually have to remember to drink, otherwise you collapse. And there's drink stations along the way, and when we're in that fixed purpose of running, it can be easy to forget to drink because we get so busy. Yet the only way Jesus was able to run the race was that he withdrew to be with the Father, to lonely places regularly, where he would just drink and he would sit with the Father and he would allow the Father to replenish him. I believe that as we start to drink again, that the pressures that I talked about before and the performance mentality that some have carried are going to lift off people as we enter into the Lord's rest and the Lord's pace and grace for the race he's set for us. Jesus said in John 7, verse 37 to 38, if anyone is thirsty, then let him come to me and drink, for I have the water that gives life. And then it talks about how rivers of living water will flow out from within you. We need to remember to drink. It's important to rest naturally in between races to prevent injury and to prevent collapsing. And we've got to learn when it's time to actually have a rest and have a drink. Isaiah 40, one of my favorite scriptures, 28 to 31, says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless, and even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If I can please have the worship team. Really believe that this is a word for us today, that it's time to run. And sometimes we think we have to be completely ready. It says, let us lay aside every weight. So we think we have to actually get everything ready and make sure that we're perfect before we actually run. But just like when I started running with Dave, I actually ran to get fit, and weight comes off as we run. I actually saw that as people said yes to the Lord by faith and took a step, that as they began to run, that weights began to fall off. I believe he's calling us to run in new paths, and we will know it by the peace that we have. He's calling us to run in new strength, and for some, he's calling us to run at new speed. That it would be by not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. He's calling us to run with the good news of the gospel, to run with peace, love, joy, faith. And to actually advance forward together as a church. Not separately, not anyone lagging behind, but actually if one falls, we pick them up. We help them up. Just like that that race I've showed before at church where I think his name was Derek. Derek ran, and remember he had that torn hamstring and he collapsed to the ground. And he got up and he hobbled and he tried to finish his race. And then all of a sudden there was a man that ran through the crowds and ran past the security guards, and they tried to stop him, but he pushed them out of the way. And he came alongside Derek, and it was actually his dad. And his dad put his arm around him, and together they ran to finish the race. I think that's a beautiful picture of the Father coming alongside us. Hey, I'm not calling you to run alone. Calling you to run with me, but I'm also calling each of us to come and run alongside, that we might finish. Like Paul said, I ran the race, I finished the race. I spoke at the start about hindrances or pressures that have tried to stop people from running. And to get, I guess, to make people stuck. And I just really want to pray for people that as we come into a time of worship now, if you feel like there's been things that have really tried to hinder you from running forward this year, I just feel like the Lord wants to lift them off today, to heal those things. Maybe there's some things you need to repent of today that we might run like we've never run before, and see God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just pray, and then we're just going to come into a time of worship. I'm going to hand over to your pastors. Father, I just thank you that you say who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, of the things that have tried to weigh us down and hinder us from running forward, I just pray right now by your Spirit that you would lift them off. Father, that you would give a supernatural joy to people like you did to me. Lord, that you would give a supernatural peace to people that passes understanding. That you would give fresh hope and fresh purpose to people. Lord, fresh vision of what it is that you're calling them to run in today. Lord, I thank you for your promise that you've not left us as orphans. You've not left us to run alone. May we remember to run with you today and to run alongside one another, letting you set the pace, remembering to drink, and running the race you've marked out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to hand over to your pastors. If you want prayer today, the ministry team will be available. God bless you.